You are listening to The New Man, Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier.
Do you think you could be doing more with your life, but your fear of uncertainty keeps you playing it safe? What are you avoiding or resisting throughout the day? And are you truly able to enjoy your life as it is? Or do you have a script running in your head that says, not enough? This week, the tables are turned and I'm in the hot seat. Listen as guest interviewer Ray Brekka grills me on how I recently chose to take on some inner demons. Welcome to The New Man. Today, I'm in the hot seat. Ray Brekka, my partner in crime, is here to interview me.
We're going to let you, the listeners of The New Man podcast, see behind the curtain.
Well, we had a talk recently, and you were really, you challenged me. You were like, you know what? You need to be on your own show. You need to see behind the curtain. I was like, well, if you think it'll be valuable, if you think it'll really help the guys out there, then great. I'm all for you interviewing me.
Yeah. So this all started over a Subway sandwich, by the way, guys. Trip just came back from a really powerful experience, and he and I are talking. Like I said, I've known Trip for at least, almost 5 years now. And the way I experienced Trip just as like being available and just how he was showing up and the things he was sharing, I was just floored by how I experienced him for the first time, I think, since I've known him. I saw a new side of him that was really powerful and also very, very vulnerable and transparent. And I was so moved by it. I said, dude, here's your thing. I want you to get on the show, on your show, that you interview all these people, and I want you to just own your brilliance and own your power and share with the guys what the hell you just been through the last month. Hmm. You've been on this roller coaster where you said, fuck it, I'm going to go for it like I never have before, and you did. And this is what today's show is about, kind of talking about the ins and outs of your personal journey for the last month, on kind of just taking the next deeper cut at who you are as a man and also what you want to do in the world. So that's why I got the idea, because when I heard it, I said, guys, have got to hear this. I was really inspired by what you shared.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot. Thank you.
He just adjusted himself and did a big gulp in case you couldn't see it. So turn this up in your car.
By the way, Ray and I have both trained in the same Jedi camp, so I'm aware of your skills, young Jedi.
So, what I'd like to share, Trip, if you could, just talk about like this last month for you. What for you had you taken on, we'll get into what you did, but what had you want to take a deeper look at yourself and the work you do and just kind of go in there?
Good question. So I've been doing The New Man, and for the guys out there, The New Man, for me, like I'm interviewing people I actually want to talk to. Like I'm trying to get information that I need in my life. And even if I know the answers to a lot of the questions that I ask, I still need reminders. And so this work of being the host of this show and going out and finding this information is there to really impact me. Sorry, guys, it's not all about you. I'm basically, you guys are following me along on my journey. Mm-hmm. And I've just been in this transition for years. Mm-hmm. Used to have a successful video business. All these kind of identities that I'd left behind, and then mm-hmm. trying to find myself in this, the next version of myself in doing this work. And here it is telling the story of what it means to step into the new man. Yeah. And that's been it for me. And so I was getting this feeling that I still had a boat anchor behind me. Mm-hmm. There was still something, even though opportunities were showing up in my life and possibilities were presenting themselves, because it was a dark mm-hmm. period for a while.
How long was that period for you?
Oh, going on 5 years now.
Like it's still happening?
Oh, shit. I mean, there was a point in my life, let me put it this way. There was a point in my life where I sat down and I was like, you know what? I didn't know where I was going to be 5-10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, and I said this to myself, 6 years ago, let's say. And had I stayed where I was in my life at that time, I knew exactly where I was going to be 10 years from mm-hmm. then. And that scared the hell out of me. Like, I was like, wow, I'm just going to be coasting. It'll be this I'm not really tapping my potential. There was this idea of there's something else in me that wants to be born. And if I don't change up whatever
right.
is going on, then I'm not really honoring myself. And so I stepped into, that was probably the last time I thought mm-hmm. that I knew what was going to go on. And now it's, I don't even know what's going to happen next right. week. There's a lot of uncertainty, and my lesson has been yeah. how to sit in that uncertainty and trust it. Mm-hmm. Like trust that everything's going to be fine. Even if, you know, the hammer comes down, whatever that may look like.
Yeah. And it's not like you just, you know, quit a job and came out and got a new job. When you left the East Coast to be out in Boulder, I mean, you sold your business, you sold your house, entered into a new relationship. You picked up everything and left everything you had behind. And I don't think you had a clear path on what was next for you, how to make money, any friends out here. You just picked up and left. Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds pretty reckless the way that you present it there, but I think I did it in stages. Mm. I've never been one of those people that just picks up and moves and leaves all the friends behind and just hits the reset button. I've never been one of those people. There was this slow kind of like a walking out onto an icy lake.
Right. Or the plank.
It wasn't this big cannonball.
Yeah.
Kind okay. of, you know, got jumping it. Into the water kind of thing.
On one level, so still though, you, even though you had a kind of an incremental plan, you still didn't have a plan once you got here, right? You didn't have this like job lined up. You didn't have clients lined up.
No, the thing that brought me out to Boulder was, you know, I was getting into men's work and community, and I'd been involved in the Integral community out here, and I just when I did come out to Boulder, and I was coming out here probably more and more, but I was coming out here every 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. I felt challenged. Mm-hmm. I felt really like, wow, there's a whole world of possibilities right. for me here. I have no idea how it will like manifest. Yeah. But when I was here, just whether I got to hang out with Ken Wilber in his loft and just chill and talk about things or take part in men's groups or mm-hmm. whatever, there was a part of me that just got lit up.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to honor that. I'm like, I'm going in that direction. You're right. I didn't have a,
so you basically feel something inside. Like I have no idea what it is, but I can feel I'm heading the right direction.
Yeah.
This lights me up and I'm feeling alive.
Yeah.
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 So back to real time now. So, I mean, I've been in the trench with you for the last 5 years and I've seen what you've gone through personally just to be here, to be doing this show. Mm-hmm. I've seen how you challenge yourself. And yet this last challenge, I was like, wow,
really?
I've never seen you gone this deep, this far, this fast. So let's talk about the last 3 weeks of your life here. Not only
I still feel like the Polaroid picture is developing, I'm still in that process.
Yeah. So not only did you do a really intensive retreat, the Mankind Project, the New Warrior Training, but then no less than 10 days later, you were at a Hollow Bones meditation retreat where you sat meditating for a cluster like what, 9-10 hours a day?
Mm-hmm.
So you took on two things in less than 3 weeks that most men would probably take a couple of years to do. So say more about that.
Well, you know, I'd had MKP people on the show. I've had you, I've had Ed Fell, and I noticed that I had resistance to the work, that I had resistance to the whole mythopoetic thing. In the interview that I did with What is Enlightenment magazine, I even said a smart ass comment about
you
about mythopoetic stuff. In actuality, I have a deep appreciation for it. Years ago, I read Iron John and I went, mm-hmm. you know, I saw myself in that story and really appreciated it, but there was just something about the whole tone and it just felt antiquated to me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, even though it was antiquated, I could feel a resistance in there. There was mm-hmm. like a keep that away from me.
Right.
So I noticed that.
Uh-huh.
And then I had Junpo Roshi on the show and just fell in love with that guy. But also at the same time, when he asked me point blank if I was going to do a retreat, I was like, oh, you know, I've done meditation retreats. I did the Goenka Vipassana stuff. It's grueling. It's really hard work. So I was a little like, oh man, do I really want to step into that?
Yeah.
And I could feel resistance again. And there's a different flavor to like, I've got resistance to jumping out of a perfectly good airplane too. There's a difference in the, like I think the feeling is if I do that, something may die. Hmm. There's a part of me that may die. There's something that's holding on. And I think more and more the work that I was doing was just noticing where I was guarding myself, noticing where I was building defenses against people, yep, or movements or ideologies, ideas,
right.
Just feeling myself less open to things, finding myself defending positions more often. And I think it's great to have boundaries and great to have, you know, there's a difference between having a boundary and like, yeah, this is who I am and this is what I stand for, and like, get that away from me because I don't like it.
So is it almost like a boundary versus a wall?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. You know, I was building, and how it was showing up in my life was that I was, I get emails almost every day from people that listen to this show that are deeply impacted by it. And I love getting those emails, but I noticed that I wasn't really able to take it in. There was a part of me that, here was love coming my way.
Right.
Here was appreciation coming my way. And I noticed that there was a part of me that wouldn't allow myself to feel it. And I grew up in a very kind of humble, my father was a cowboy and a cop, and there was, yeah, this very kind of humble background of like, you know, don't be a politician or don't be those types of guys that get up there and beat their own drum and say how great they are. And so I can appreciate that kind of humility. But on the other end, I was missing out on receiving love. I was missing out on, because I don't get any money to do this show. So if I'm not going to receive the love and appreciation of doing this show, what the hell is going on? And right, I could feel myself hitting the wall. Yeah. I felt the kind of the boat, yeah, anchor thing that I was, yeah, talking about.
So you can't let it in. You can't be out there on the other side where you're boasting, celebrating your success. Hey, this show, I love this show. You can't even go into that. And then when you get compliments and guys from all over the world sending you emails, you can't really let that in. So you're in this place of like, well, I can't do this. I can't boast. I can't receive compliments. So then where are you?
Right. I realized that I could have all kinds of success, but I would never be satisfied.
Hmm.
That was the scary thing. That was kind of what I was starting to really see out, right, in front of me, that money, women, you know, attention from women or whatever, all of those things that seem important, really important, but in actuality, if I couldn't really just take in and feel appreciated and allow myself to be appreciated, I knew that I'd be miserable.
Yeah.
I knew that I wouldn't have a satisfied life.
Yeah.
So.
And there's a part of you too that I watched that you're one of the hardest working guys I've ever seen in my life. And there was this part of you that I'm starting to get more clarity on now, that we were really driven for something. But then I was watching and I said, I wonder if you can just take it in all the great things you're up to, all the things that you're really doing for the guys out there in the show and just the work you do. Like, I imagine from that place of you not being able to be contributed to or to take compliments, like there'd be like never end to like, I got to keep working harder. And there's just never enough. You just keep driving yourself to exhaustion and nothing to kind of fill you back up.
That what you just said is that was the nugget that I arrived at through this work this month. And this is the new thing that's the big piece of the puzzle, mm-hmm, that dropped in for me. And it was actually kind of shocking, but in essence, it was the statement, not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough in the sense of I'm not enough. No matter what I do, it'll never be enough. No matter if I get two emails a day from those guys that got help, there's still more guys that need to be helped. The shows could be better, the whatever. There's a, and this isn't all of me, but there is a part of me in my psyche that was not allowing me to celebrate,
right,
what was going on. And so any successes that came along, any kind of those little breakthroughs could not be enjoyed. And ultimately, it's the gas tank runs dry.
Right. Especially with all the unknown that you're facing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how do you have that security when it doesn't seem like it's out there?
Mm-hmm.
It's not coming back your way. It's not showing up financially, whatever way, it's like not there. Like, how do you do that?
You know, my meditation practice has been key. Before I went to Hawaii again, and I think it was March when I just went, but I was in touch with a part of myself that I called the part that could not be taken away, the part that could not be destroyed. And there was a deep peace in that. There was just a deep trusting. And I had it for like a good 2 weeks. I had access to this part of me, and maybe it was because I knew I was going to Hawaii, yeah, and I was going to surf. There was this high that I was riding, but I remembered that, like, wow, I really wanted to cultivate that. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be a place that I could access within me instead of it making about like, oh, well, once I have X amount in the bank and these people and these opportunities, then I'll be able to be okay. And it was more about cultivating this place within me. And it went away. I haven't had
access. How would you describe it, just for guys that are out there? Because I'm hearing what you're saying about this part of you that you can't take away. How would you describe that to just someone out there that's in his car? What would that be like, just to put that into?
It's a feeling. It's a knowing. Mm-hmm. It's a state of mind. It's a state of being. The feeling of just, yes, I recognize the limitations and the shit that's happening in my life. And yet there's a part of me that just, when I really, oh, I might lose this. Okay. I might lose that. Okay. I'm going to get older and I'm going to die. Okay. Like just really being with all those things and then asking myself, I'll still, you know, am I still going to be okay? And there's a part of me, it's like, after all that's said and done, and my dick falls off and my,
God forbid,
I'm covered in sores and whatever, there's a part of me that's like, that part will be just fine. Hmm. And I think it's just like, and that's what's great about sitting on the cushion is like the thing, oh, I might lose this, and just really being with that. Okay. I might lose that. My wife may die. Mm-hmm. My children that I haven't even had yet may die. I'm going to die. So there's all of these like being with those things and coming down to the place of what's the part that can't be taken away.
Right.
And that feeling, just nurturing that, just like kind of following all the way down. And that may be kind of hard for the guy in the car to get, but, you know, this has been after years of meditation practice and it comes and goes for me.
I think if I could translate just for the guy out there, what I get from it, it's like, hey, if you came to the realization that, my body's going to age, my dick's going to fall off, my man boobs are going to sag, like your body is going to start dying at some point. It gets older each year. Your partner may die. Your kids are going to die. Like the business that I create, that's going to go away. There's nothing permanent in my life except that part of you that can't be taken away. It's that really still part of you that doesn't need anything outside of you for security. It just knows.
Mm-hmm.
Not intellectually, but it's like a deeper, like it just knows. Mm-hmm. No matter what the hurricane is outside of you, no matter what the change is, like that's you at your deepest level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the traditions would, you know, if you read the Tao Te Ching, this is what they call the Tao. The mm-hmm. Buddhists call it emptiness or samadhi. And there's terms for this part. And it's really, you know, they're the words are just signifiers. They're things that just point to it. It's something that has to be just felt, and I'm definitely not a master of anything, but when it shows up and I'm available to have access to it, I feel deep gratitude. It's a great reminder of like, why in the fuck am I so wound up about this shit?
So let's talk about this last retreat you went on, since we're kind of in the midst of finding that really still place in you. When I experienced you at lunch that day, there was a part of you that was just really raw, ripped open raw. Your eyes were alive. You just felt so much more alive and vibrant, and just, I was blown away. And I started saying, like, what the hell is it like? I can't imagine sitting, meditating for like 9-10 hours a day.
The word exfoliation comes up. And really, it is about just peeling off the layers.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that, I don't want to give too much away about the actual week, but the process itself for me, the impact it had on me was just getting cooked every day, sitting in my own resistance. I do not want to fucking be here. I do not want, who are these guys and the freaking bells and robes and chanting and like, I signed up for this thing. I paid money to do this. But even sitting there was just like this, screw this, get the hell out, wanting to run and not getting caught up in that, but just allowing that to be, like not denying that resistance, but just sitting with it, being, can I just sit with this? And it's like, in essence, it's like sitting in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the things that I, you know, we were talking about that voice within me earlier, that's like never enough, not enough, blah, blah. Well, that got externalized. Like instead of that being a voice on the inside, there were people on the outside kind of playing those roles. Zen is very disciplined.
Yeah.
Very sit the fuck down and shut up. And if you move, we'll take your life. There's a spirit of it to that this is life and death important.
Like this is not fucking around. Like you move and you're dead.
Yeah. It's a samurai tradition. And it has that spirit to it. It's not a nonchalant, like, yeah, come on in and sit down. And if you need to move, that's fine. If you need to go get a cup of coffee, that's fine. All of the things that we use to bring comfort and distract ourselves are ripped away.
Right. So the guy out there that might have a hard day at work and then grabs a beer and turns on ESPN, picks up a magazine, all those little outlets we have just to kind of check out. You don't have that luxury here.
And that's the whole point. I mean, that's the idea, is that you go into this container, and these people provide a wonderful service to create this container for you. They are in service of you. Mm-hmm. They're not there to like just want to beat the hell out of you and hurt you. That this is a real service to actually turn into the fire, like to go sit in your own fire. And that's, I have a huge amount of gratitude and respect for people that will do that, that will basically make themselves the bad cop in order for you to do the work.
Yeah. I don't want to give away the week long process itself, but there was a moment when we were sharing at lunch where you said, you were asked a question by the teacher there. And I don't remember the exact question, but it was a really powerful exchange. Can you share more about that?
Tune in next week to hear how I learned a valuable lesson that left me with more than a bruise. Thanks for listening.